From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Folks, we've got a fantastic show. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. And folks, again, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., like we always do. That number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, if you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin. Folks, you know what? I want to start now. Usually, of course, I throw to our current sports quick hit headliners at this time. But you know what? I thought that I would start the show by telling you some interesting story here. A sort of a feel-good, tell-me-something-good type of story, okay, folks? Now, you know, actually, you know, yesterday when I was at home, I got off work. I had a shoot around 4 o'clock. So I get off work, decided to make me some dinner and kind of chill out and start doing some work from home. So naturally, I mean, my TV stays locked on sports, as you can imagine, whether it be ESPN, whether it be Fox Sports 1, whatever it may be. I mean, my TV is always locked in on something, whether it be basketball, football, or something sports related. So last night, you know, I naturally had on ESPN Sports Center, and I came across a story that honestly didn't get a lot of pub. And I really, you know, looking back at it now, I don't really understand why it didn't get a lot of publicity. But, you know, sometimes stories like this kind of just don't get the attention that they deserve. So I thought I wanted to start the show by doing that very thing and telling you all this story. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Jace Malik is, but, you know, of course, we are just coming off a week where the talk of the town was National Signing Day. It's where everyone, you know, kind of just flocked to their televisions and their smartphones to look and see where the top high school recruits were going to take their athletic talents, whether it be in soccer, whether it be in lacrosse. But more so, the sport that gets the most attention is of course, football. Now, just get this real quick here, folks. Amidst the competition leading up to signing day, I mean, again, it is easy to miss stories that remind you that there are more important things than the world of sports. And this one is just that. Now, again, 17-year-old Jace Malik, he had always dreamed of playing football for the Idaho Vandals. Always dreamed of it, folks. I mean, ever since this kid was a little tyke, I mean, he always wanted to play for Idaho. That's always been his goal. He's a very good player, very, very good player out of Idaho. But, you know, get this. A week from signing day, literally a week, folks, he found out just through a random checkup with the doctor that he was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his hip. This is a week before signing day, folks. Now, we've seen many times in the world of recruiting about, you know, even sometimes 3 days before signing day. I mean, how many times have we seen a school, you know, pull their recruitment of a kid because they were looking to pick up a defensive end or a corner? We've seen it multiple times. Actually, scouring the net last night, I found about 4 or 5 stories of schools actually pulling their commitment to a recruit because they wanted to go in a different direction. So, I mean, we see it all the time. So this is an instance where you got a kid who is a high recruit, has always dreamed of playing for this specific football program, but a week before signing day comes, he's hit with some news that he is diagnosed with cancer. Now, I mean, naturally, there will be a lot of schools out there that will pull their commitment and say, okay, hey, you know, we wish you well, but, you know, we could easily lose that scholarship for somebody else. But, you know, Idaho didn't do that, folks. After he let, because this is a pretty cool, too, because Jace actually had called up the school and let them know, saying, hey, I just got some pretty bad news. You know, I've been diagnosed with cancer. You know, if you pull your scholarship, I understand. And it takes a lot of courage to do that because, you know, this is a young kid whose dreams are basically waning in the balance based off of this news. But Idaho didn't pull that recruitment, folks. They said, hey, there's a big chance that you may not even play one down with us, but we are committed to you because we've been rocking with you for this long. We're not just going to just leave you out in the dry. And the fact that Idaho stuck with this young man and decided to say, hey, you know, sometimes things are more important than sports, this being one of those, it was pretty admirable. If you haven't seen it, SportsCenter did one fantastic job profiling this young man and just seeing. I mean, I have a lot of respect for those because I've never gone through something like that. I've seen family members go through it, through the treacherous disease of cancer and go through other illnesses as well. But again, I've never experienced it firsthand. And to have, you know, I can only imagine being that young and getting some news like that when you got the world at your feet. You know, you've yet to do so many things. And to have a school still stick by you and voice their support, pretty cool stuff. Again, he's 17 years old. His name is Jace Malik. I thought I'd start the show by, you know, with some positive vibes because, I think stories like that sometimes just don't get covered enough. So hats off to Idaho, hats off to that football program, and a big hats off to Jace Malik. Well, let's narst out the show like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 10th. All right, let's start with the MSU men's basketball team. They are on the road tonight to face Northwestern as the Spartans look to bounce back from a disappointing home loss to Illinois on Saturday. Now, in their previous meeting this season, MSU needed overtime to knock off the Wildcats, 84-77. Five Spartans hit double figures in that contest, including Travis Trice recording his first career double-double. Tip is scheduled for 7 p.m. Eastern time on the Big Ten Network. Also, Michigan State's 2015 recruiting class has received more praise as it was ranked 29th on ESPN's top 75 class ranking list. The Spartans' 20-man class was headlined by four players, of course, that received four-star rankings from ESPN. Running back L.J. Scott was the highest-rated recruit with an 83 overall grade, while offensive lineman Keontae Stallworth, quarterback Brian Lewerke, and athlete David Dow each earn grades in the low 80s. And ESPN has also released its top 10 already preseason rankings. And Michigan State, get this, is ranked in the top 10 at number 7. How about that? Pretty cool stuff. All right, Jalen Hayes for the fifth time this season. Sexton grad Jalen Hayes has been named the Horizon League Freshman of the Week. A forward on Oakland's basketball team, Hayes averaged 18.5 points, 5.5 assists, and 4.5 rebounds in two games last week. Hayes had his first double-double with a 16-point and 10-rebound performance against Illinois and Chicago. And scored 21 points against Valparaiso. All right, folks, also got to mention this. Greg Popovich, the great Greg Pop, folks, he hit 1,000 points yesterday. 1,000 games won, excuse me, yesterday, folks. I mean, that's unbelievable. Not points. That'd be quite the headline, right? But no, 1,000 games won for Greg Pop. That is certainly an accomplishment, which we're going to also talk about and dive into in just a sec. And because my laptop wants to freeze on me, folks, that does it for your current sports quick and headliners today. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Gotta love technology, right? Let's start the show. Man, I tell you what, we live in such a digital age, dude. When technology goes out, it's like the world stops. My laptop has just completely froze on me. So, Alex, I got up until Greg Popovich. I'm going to invite the man behind the glass, Alex Sharg, right now. We both actually have been having some problems with our computers. Alex, you have the rest of the headliners. Can you kind of go down that list for me?
Yeah. There's only a few left. But Oregon head coach Mark Helfrich was rewarded for his team's success. He got a 5-year, $17.5 million contract extension Monday, and he's been the head coach, as you know, for the past two seasons.
Right.
His record is 24-4. Can you believe that, Al? 24-4.
That's impressive.
That's phenomenal. Then, of course, he went to the College Football Playoff National Championship game last season, and that's that. And finally, NFL Films founder Ed Sabol died Monday at the age of 98. 98, that's a long life. But a 2011 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee, Sabol ran NFL Films from 1964 to 1995 and helped the organization win 52 Emmy Awards. Wow, Al, I mean, Sometimes people work their whole life to get just one.
I'm telling you, man, that's impressive, isn't it? And, you know, Sable, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've watched NFL films and seen those historic recounts of the, you know, the football games back in the 60s and 70s put to the unbelievable tunes of NFL films. I mean, that was unbelievable, man. So he was certainly a staple when it comes to the sports broadcasting community. So rest in peace, Ed Sable, man.
That's right. And also, just one quick note on Sable. He was a veteran of World War II and also swam at Ohio State. So that's the whole wrap of the headliners, but hey, some pretty influential ones today.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thanks a lot for bringing that, folks. Man, I think I need a new laptop, dude. I mean, this thing is just, come on, Apple. Come on, man. All right, folks, our phone lines are open and we'll stay open all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I have to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the WKAR-TV studios. I will be sitting down with a kid who is, man, oh, man, is he one just athletically talented and gifted kid. I was actually out at Crown Boxing Gym in Lansing yesterday, which is like right on the fringe of downtown Lansing. And, of course, Ali Easley, that's his gym. Ali Easley has been a longtime boxing trainer right here in the community. We've actually had Ali on multiple times on the radio show and TV show. But Ali is one of the trainers that has trained this 10-year-old phenom by the name of Keon G. Now, Keon, I tell you what, man, watching him work out yesterday was certainly a treat. Me and my producer, one of my producers, Tim Elkins, we went out there and got a chance to meet Keon and meet, you know, his little brother. We got a chance to meet his father as well, while also meeting a lot of kids who are cycled through Ali's gym, trying to, you know, keep them out of the streets. And, you know, Ali does a lot of philanthropic work, too, just meeting a lot of kids with troubled backgrounds who are looking at boxing as their outlet. And Keon is one of those kids, man. I mean, he's unbelievable. Again, we watched him work out. We were there for about like an hour and a half. And man, oh man, you got to check out the footage that we got from Crown Boxing, folks, which we'll play this week on Current Sports TV. Again, we air Current Sports TV each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. But it was a pleasure picking his brain, you know, before our chat tomorrow night. Also got to meet his other trainer, Moses, who was out there. Moses will also join me on the show. So if you want to meet this outstanding kid, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org, folks. It is going to be one fun sit down. But, you know, I want to start the show by talking about the MSU football team being ranked already. I can't believe, you know, when I was looking at the story this morning, it was actually done by Mike Griffith of MLive.com. But already do they have a ranking list of the top 25 football programs before the season has even started, folks. And again, we're talking, what is it, February right now, and they already have a ranking out. And it's funny, you know, when I was reading the headliner, they call it the ESPN way too early ranking. At least that's what Mike called it. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, looking at the different schools that are on that list. Again, Michigan State right now, they're ranked 7th in the nation. Ohio State's ranked numero uno, and deservedly so, because, they're a national champ, for goodness sake. But, you know, and I really think it's interesting to see how the perception of MSU football, is still so high. And I think a lot of the reason why Michigan State is ranked in the top 10 has to do with the overall perception that this program has when it comes to, of course, what they've done these past 2 years, winning a Rose Bowl last year, just coming off a Cotton Bowl win now in the fashion in which they won that. I mean, it is truly, truly remarkable to see that the perception of Michigan State football is of a top 10 football program. Now, if you look at their recruiting class this year, they landed 4 defensive backs and, again, one of the best tailbacks in the nation in Larry L.J. Scott, who I think is going to be quite the running back to watch next year, because I'm looking at the reviews and looking at this kid's highlight tape. I mean, he looks to be very, very impressive. And I think a lot of the reason that also the perception of MSU football is so high is because of the return of course, Connor Cook, quarterback for Michigan State, and Shalit Calhoun, defensive end for Michigan State. Calhoun and Cook, watching their maturations year after year after year has certainly been a joy to watch. And anytime you have two players at such key positions such as that, quarterback and defensive end, anytime you have two of those guys coming back, I mean, hey, you got to be pretty high on the team as well. So I also think that aids in this discussion as well. Now, it's really interesting because, again, if you go online and you check this article out, again, it's on MLive.com. There's actually a poll done at the end of the article that poses the question, should MSU be ranked in the preseason top 10? Now, the last time I looked at this poll, Alex, Michigan State, you know, there were a lot of Michigan State fans out there that had voted on this poll, and the percentage was pretty high on Michigan State not being ranked top 10. Now, granted, I think that it's way too early to start ranking teams and college football programs for next year. And, you know, honestly, I can sort of see where people are coming from that Michigan State shouldn't be ranked because we just don't know how good this team is going to be. It's way too early. The season hasn't even started yet. But I want to get your thoughts, you know, because, you know, Michigan State, again, looking at, you know, what this program has been able to do and the personnel coming back, I don't know. I don't know if I would put them in the top 10 right now just because based on what we don't know. So, and again, I want to get your thoughts on it, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I do agree. I always think, you know, if there is a national champion, when you look at whatever sport it is, whoever won the championship, you know, last year, I don't think that you can put them in any other place other than one, because they haven't been knocked off that high horse just yet. So I do agree with Ohio State being ranked number one in the nation. And then looking at the recruiting classes they have coming in, I mean, my goodness, it's very, very impressive. So would you put Michigan State football in the top 10 this early, Alex?
No, yeah, it's too hard to say, man. And it's different. Michigan State isn't a school to really, you know, have maybe the flashiest recruits, like you said. They're known to develop a lot of guys. Some guys aren't really heavily used recruited. Some get injured. Some tear their ACL. There may be some two-stars. So I don't really play anything into that, but you got to look at the potential of a lot of the signees they have and more of the overall end goal of what they can be.
So who do you think, who are you really looking at as far as this team goes? I, when it comes to recruits coming in or the personnel already there, who do you think is going to have a big season? Because I think a lot of the reason that this poll has Michigan State ranked in the top 10 has to do with a lot with not only do they have a top 25 recruiting class, but you got Connor Cook and Shalik Calhoun coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they have like their big playmakers back. So I think between Cook and Calhoun, they'll be pretty great. In terms of guys really having an impact, I mean, Monte Nicholson, you saw him get in the game a lot last year. Michigan State not losing Trey Waynes. Monte was lined up at corner at some points, but also safety. So I think Monte Nicholson is going to really elevate his game and really have a big role this year. And, you know, when he came in last year, he was a very highly touted recruit as well. So I think that's someone that's going to be pretty hard to miss. Other than him, I mean, I really like the future of Brian Lewerke. I think that he's probably the best quarterback recruit in the Midwest. I'd say he's a little bit better than Malzone from the tape that I've watched. And when you compare him to other quarterbacks out there, I mean, this guy is super, super accurate. So I think that's really important for them moving forward. And how about David Dowell from Lakewood, Ohio, the defensive back? I mean, he's a guy that can also come in and fill an immediate void at cornerback as well. We saw Darian Hicks play immediately as a freshman. I think you could see David Dowell as well.
Yes, certainly. Folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Got to bring up this man because I had no idea that he was that close to the milestone of 1,000 wins until it actually happened last night. And it was a very, very close game, you know, that the Spurs had to battle to get that 1,000th win for, of course, longtime San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich reaching that milestone of 1,000 wins. It's certainly remarkable to see the career of Greg Popovich sort of mature, going back to when he first entered the coaching game. And looking at the San Antonio Spurs, I always say that the San Antonio Spurs are one of my favorite teams in sports because of the way their organization is run, because of the way they play, and also the attitude in which they play with. That blue-collar mentality that the San Antonio Spurs play with is so rare in sports. I always equate it to, you know, when going back in the day, because you guys know I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan, and the two teams that will always kind of compare to each other back in the early 2000s was the Detroit Pistons and the San Antonio Spurs, because the Pistons didn't really have, they didn't play with a one-man or two-man superstar system. It was a plethora of individuals coming together for that one common goal. And honestly, I do think that, of course, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, those three, looking at those three who have been together for quite some time, those three in their own respects are certainly superstars. But they know how to play together that doesn't mask and yield to, again, that one or two superstar system that we see so often in the NBA where, you know, two guys are relied on so heavily on the offensive end. I mean, we see it all the time in the league. But to see how Greg Popovich has been able to enact a system where they play as a team while also harboring that talent that is so refreshing is certainly unbelievable. And they just play the right way. And actually, I tuned in. I don't know if you guys watched The Journey on the Big Ten Network. The Journey, where they follow just about every team in the Big Ten. They have one for the football season. Is also right now the basketball one is going on right now. And they had an interesting roundtable that encompassed Larry Brown. They had Tom Izzo was also a part of that. And, of course, Larry Brown, I don't even know why he was on that panel, because it was on the Big Ten Network. And Larry Brown, you know, he coaches SMU, which a team isn't in the Big Ten. But still, Larry Brown is certainly one of the greatest coaches to ever coach. And they were just sitting down. It was a plethora of I can't remember the other coaches who were sitting down with Tom and Larry. But, you know, they were sitting down just kind of picking apart the game of basketball and where the game is headed, what they like, what they don't like. They even discussed the shot clock and the way fouls are being called today. And they talked about Greg Popovich last week. And, you know, interesting quote from Larry Brown. He said, quote, "Greg Popovich is saving modern basketball," end quote. Now, that's a big, big statement, folks. Big, big statement. Saving modern basketball. And the reason he said that is because when you look at the success that the San Antonio Spurs have had going back to last year, I mean, my goodness, Greg Popovich's system is showing that, hey, you don't have to have that LeBron James or Kobe Bryant type of a guy where, you know, he's taking 20 to 30 shots a game. You don't need that type of guy to be successful in today's game. You can still play, quote, play the right way. And Larry Brown, that's something Larry Brown always has said. You can still play that the way in which, you know, you share the ball movement, hard-nosed, gritty basketball, and be successful in today's game. And I just really thought it was so interesting because you had all of these legends sitting around and different coaches in the Big Ten and Izzo and Brown talking about Greg Popovich's way and style of coaching and how it has transcended into success in the game of basketball. So I want to shout out Greg Pop because I think it is really amazing to see what he's been able to do. And also, I mean, you don't see a lot of coaches now. I mean, the turnover in the world of coaching, not even just in the game of basketball. I mean, you can talk about football, you can go to baseball, just about any level of sport. I mean, how many times have you seen a coach let go after 3 to 4 years, not even that sometimes, as being the head coach? You know, a coach being fired because of maybe one or two seasons of not great success. Greg Popovich has been with the Spurs for so long, so long. You just don't see the loyalty from a franchise to a coach that often in today's sporting world. And, you know, the mere fact that, you know, San Antonio, it's not like they've won, you know, a championship every single year in today's 2000 era, but they've done it a lot. And it's hard, you know, to let go of a coach knowing the type of tenure that they've had in the past. And even with one or two seasons of, you know, of not reaching the NBA Finals, the Spurs have still stayed loyal to Greg Popovich and vice versa. And any player, you look at, you know, like a Tim Duncan or even the young guys like Kawhi Leonard, they always talk about how big of a joy it is to play for Greg Popovich. Sometimes he's not easy to play for, folks. I mean, if you watch Greg Popovich, one of the things that I kind of chuckle at sometimes is how he's able to just sort of just ream his players sometimes. I mean, he'll get in the face of Tim Duncan. I've seen some exchanges between him and Tim Duncan sometimes that look a little bit ugly, but that's the type of relationship that they have. I mean, you see it all the time in college basketball because you're still dealing with kids and they're still trying to learn the game. But it's very rare where you see an NBA coach sort of get in the grill of an NBA player and them respond positively. Because we've seen the negative side of it where, you know, these guys have a lot of egos in the NBA and they feel as though, you know, if you're going to yell at me, hey, I'm a grown man. You know what I mean? But that's the type of connection that Greg Popp has in San Antonio, and it's really interesting to see because he's coached these guys for so long, and they respond and they respect Greg Popovich. So hats off to Greg. You know, I was actually looking at a list not too long ago before we took the air today, just at the incredible list of coaches who have learned under the tenure of Greg Popovich, and it is truly remarkable, folks. If you haven't seen it, ESPN actually has it up right now where they sort of break down Greg Popovich's tenure, 1,000 win tenure. And they have it broken down into just different type of categories and statistics. And one of those categories is coaches who have coached under Greg Popovich. And I tell you what, folks, I mean, it's hard to count them on your hands, folks. It's that many. So hats off to Pop. 1K, truly remarkable. All right, folks, this is our first break of Current Sports. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's show, the one, the only, Kathy Klagas, MSU women's gymnastics coach. We got her on the line. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Tuesday, folks. Hope the week is starting off well for you all. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. Now, the MSU women's gymnastics team will return home this Friday to compete against in-state rival U of M. It's always on like Donkey Kong. Anytime the Spartans and Wolverines match up, no matter what the sport is. Now, the meet will serve as the annual alumni meet. Now, just 2 days later, the Spartans will host Pittsburgh in the annual Autism Awareness Meet. Both meets will take place at Jenison Fieldhouse. The Spartans are 5-3 overall, 2-2 in the Big Ten, and we've got the head coach on our lines to talk about it all. Head coach of the MSU Women's Gymnastics team, Kathy Klagas. Kathy, how you doing?
Hi, Nail. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Kathy.
Wonderful.
And a lot of people don't know, Kathy was actually one of the first coaches ever to grace the Current Sports TV airwaves, too. So this is kind of coming full circle. Thanks a lot, Kathy, for joining me.
Absolutely.
All right. First, I want to talk about, of course, the alumni meet coming up against rival Michigan. Tell the folks out there listening what is it all about?
Well, what we do with an alumni meet, it's very different than a lot of sports. I know that in other sports, they may come back and actually participate somehow and do, like for swimming, they may, you know, race against the members on the team. Our alumni meet is a little different because these young ladies are no longer doing gymnastics, so we don't get them out onto the competition floor. What we do, though, is we want to honor them and being an alumni of our program and helping set the tone for what this program has done over the last 25 years. And so, well, actually more like 40 years, I should say. We invite the alumni back, and we introduce them at the end of the competition and find out a little bit about them, what they're doing now, a little bit about their family situation. And it's always amazing because you'll hear, you know, doctor, lawyer, PA, PT. It's incredible what these young women have gone on to accomplish in their lives. And we actually have someone coming back that was on the team from 66 to 70 before it was even recorded as having a team here at Michigan State University. So it's really exciting to have her back. And we're going to have some of those people help assist us with handing out the awards for the competition.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Now, you know, you guys, this is an annual thing that you guys do with the alumni meet. I mean, on average, I mean, how many alumni usually come back for this?
We usually get between 20 and 25. I'm afraid we're probably not going to reach that number because of the fact that we have, it's a Friday night meet, mm-hmm. and a lot of these people live really far away, like Texas and California and New York. And so in the past, when we've had the meet on a Saturday. They've been able to, you know, fly in on Friday and then participate on Saturday. Last year we had like an open gym for them to bring their kids to, or they could try to play around a little bit without in a safe setting, shall we say. And we also, you know, planned a dinner for them. But being that it's a Friday night, we're just, you know, having them come introduce themselves at the meet and hopefully getting together afterwards for a quick dinner.
Now, Kathy, I got to ask, I mean, you being, of course, in your 25th season here at Michigan State, I mean, looking back at the alumni that you have coached and have come back, I mean, how many actually stay involved with the sport of gymnastics?
Well, it's interesting that some of them have gone on to become judges. I have a couple people that are out there coaching gymnastics. But we don't have, you know, it's not as many as you might think. These young ladies have been doing this sport since they were 3 or 4 years old, mm-hmm. and it has consumed the first, you know, portion of their lives. And so some of them are ready to let go and move on and try other things. But like I said, we do have a few that are judges. And I have one of my former athletes, Becky Schaller, who is an assistant coach at Towson University, which is in Maryland. And we're going to compete against them this year. So that's really exciting. But they don't stay in it too much. It's funny how many of them decide they don't want their children to do it because it consumed their childhood. And then all of a sudden you see, well, I got my goddaughter doing gymnastics.
Right, right.
And so a lot of them will allow their children to go on and participate. So that is, in a way, staying involved.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Anytime you have, you know, your little ones, you know, doing the sport that you possibly participated in, I mean, that's always a great thing. Now, and, you know, it's pretty cool because just 2 days later, you guys will host Pittsburgh at Jennison Fieldhouse in the annual Autism Awareness Meet. Also, tell the folks about that as well, Kathy.
Well, this is a really special event that's near and dear to my heart. Dr. Larry Nassar is our team physician. He's also the USA medical coordinator for USA Gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And so he is well-known throughout the nation, and he's such a special, special human being. He has a daughter that's autistic, and so he has created a foundation, and he is trying to get money for this foundation to help with the research for autism. And so he asked us to be the first collegiate program to sponsor an autism awareness meet, similar to what we do with the breast cancer meet. We want it to spread across the entire United States and have lots of people bringing some awareness to autism. So in the past, we've had a couple of star people here. Nastia Lukin was here, mm-hmm. Dominique Muciano, Alicia Sacrimony was here. So we've had some pretty big stars that have come in to support Larry. What we're doing this year is we are highlighting some of the special needs kids in the area, and they're going to be performing before the competition begins. So at about 1:30 or so, you're going to see the special needs kids do vault, bars, beam, and floor. And we just want to show the crowd what these young people can accomplish even with the special needs that they may have.
Wow, that is pretty cool, Kathy. And you talked about how you guys also do the breast cancer awareness meet. Are you guys still doing that this year?
Yes, we actually already had that competition. It was on Saturday, January 24th against the University of Minnesota.
Gotcha. You know, it's very cool. I mean, you talk about, you know, autism awareness and breast cancer awareness. I mean, it's very cool to see a program bring awareness while also engaging it within its own sport. I mean, how important for you, Kathy, is it to incorporate philanthropic endeavors like that throughout a year?
Well, I think it's really a very special thing to be able to do. And when it's touching someone that you know, like we know Larry so well. And with our breast cancer meet, we have dedicated that to Jan Howard, who is Angela Howard Monty's mother. And I coached Angela all through private club and then through her entire college career. And I know her mom extremely well. So it brings it that close to home and that personal, it's extremely special. And I'm very honored to be able to be a part of these two meets.
It's certainly great. Now, is it very common in the Big Ten when you guys go to other competitions and different meets? Do other schools engage in this as well, Kathy?
Well, a lot of the schools throughout the country engage in a breast cancer awareness meet. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with that being started years ago by a couple of prominent coaches in the nation, and it touched the sport of gymnastics near and dear because we had a collegiate athlete that was diagnosed very young at like the age of 20 with breast cancer. So it certainly brought that issue really close to our hearts in the collegiate gymnastics world. So many, many, many programs do a breast cancer awareness meet. The autism awareness meet, Larry's working on that. He college programs involved with that. I know the University of Michigan has done one for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and we're just really looking forward. I believe also Western Michigan has done a couple in the past, and so we're, you know, hoping to see that grow like the Breast Cancer Awareness Meet has grown across the nation.
Well, I really hope it does. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head coach of the MSU women's gymnastics team, Kathy Klegas. Now, Kathy, I want to shift gears here really briefly, and I want to talk about the end of last month. Now, at the end of last month, you all won your 500th meet as a program, getting it against Rutgers, Brown University, and Wisconsin Oshkosh. Now, what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was very exciting because, you know, that just is a lot of wins for us. As much as we really concentrate not on the wins and losses in our sport, but mostly on the performance and the score that we get, because that's how we progress on to the NCAA regional and national championships, mm-hmm. It is so exciting to be a part of that part of history to say we were there. We were the team that accomplished this 500th win for our program. And so it was very, very exciting. And the team members were very honored to be part of that.
And also, Kathy, I mean, you being in your 25th season with Michigan State, I mean, you're the longest tenured coach at Michigan State. I mean, I really, when you look at it, I mean, and to reach 500 wins, I'm pretty sure you've seen many of those wins over time. Is it a bit surreal when you put all that in perspective for you?
Yeah, it really is. I'm still thinking that. I'm kind of a rookie in this this collegiate world, and I'm like, wait a minute, Cass, you are not. You're looking at the twilight of your career here. But it is, it's such a rewarding job and such an exciting thing to do for anybody that can do something that they love for a career. You got to consider yourself pretty darn lucky, and that's what I feel about this position. Each year is very different because of the fact that you lose your seniors, you gain your freshmen, the whole chemistry is very different. You know, what might have worked last year doesn't even come close to working this year, so it's always very challenging mm-hmm. and very exciting, and I'm still having a great time, so I'm really enjoying this. It doesn't feel like 25 years, I guess, is what I'm trying to tell you, Alex.
I tell you, time flies when you're having fun, Kathy.
You bet.
Now, I got to ask you, how have you evolved as a coach and a person over time while here at Michigan State, Kathy?
Well, I think, you know, things have changed quite a bit from the time that I first got the job till now. It changes in recruiting and how that all affects. Changes in technology. I was learning how to use a computer when I first got this job, believe it or not. And,
right.
You know, the type of, you know, the technology that has evolved so much. I mean, the fact that my program has a Snapchat. Are you kidding me?
Really? But I need to follow that. I'm always on Snapchat.
Nick just added that. And, you know, thank God I have a very young and energetic assistant coach because, you know, we're able to keep up with the technology and that type of thing as a program. So that's, you know, those are kind of a lot of the physical changes. You know, some of the things that you do with the way the discipline, you know, has changed drastically over the years in the sense that, you know, back in the day, you know, somebody, you know, might have had a drink before they were 21, and it was not as big of a deal then as it is now.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds horrible, but it's the truth.
Right.
And then, you know, the fact that, you know, I came in as a very old school type of thinking, and we compete in leotards, you're going to practice in leotards. And I've evolved to the point I let my team practice in tank tops and T-shirts and spandex shorts because they just are more comfortable in that. And it's like, okay, you got to evolve with the times. And so I've really tried to do that. I think the growth that I've had and the challenges I've had with learning to deal with all the different styles of personalities and athletes and what works for one and won't work for another. And so there's just a lot of learning every single day. You know, my biggest challenge was when Catherine Mahoney had her injury and that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my career was to continue coaching after that experience. Catherine is still paralyzed, and that's still very difficult. But she has turned this into, you know, a challenge for herself, and she's doing extremely well, which, of course, makes my heart feel a little bit better. But, you know, there's been all kinds of challenges and all kinds of highlights along the way. So it's been quite a ride.
Yes, it certainly has. And, you know, going back, you know, you briefly hit on social media there with Snapchat. Now, I tell you what, there are some coaches that love social media when it comes to the overall branding of their sport. But also, there's an ugly side to it as well. I always recount, and we always, you know, as media members, talk to Tom Izzo about his hate. Noted hate for the social media realm of Twitter because right. There's a direct correlation with, you know, a lot of his players that are on Twitter. If they have a bad game, if they have a bad outing, I mean, honestly, Kathy, they, you know, the public is ruthless. They get bashed. And, you know, as a young kid, sometimes the perception of how you're viewed to the public has a direct correlation to your performance and your overall mood. Do you think that social media has hurt sports, specifically gymnastics, and you can probably talk it from the gymnastics point of view?
Well, it's interesting, and I've had this conversation with Tom Izzo before, and I said, you know, when we truly do not have the kind of following that he has with his program, and, you know, that's just fact. And it's our sport is different in the sense that what we do doesn't affect the opposing team. Mm-hmm. In this, yes, there's a win and a loss, but I can't scout my opposing team and I can't have a strategy on how I'm going to beat them. I just have to put up my competitors. They score, we add up the score, and that's the team score. And so it's very different in the way that we respond as coaches to each other and I think as the public to our athletes. So I honestly told him that we have not, as far as I've known so far, we have not had anybody get on Twitter and say anything, you know, real negative at this point in time. And he said, you know, well, the first time it does, it'll affect your kids. And I said, I agree, it will. But it's not as common. He has to deal with it with, you know, millions of people.
Right, because of the platform that college basketball is on, exactly.
Exactly. And those kids are, you know, their every game is on TV and everybody's got access to it. So it's a very different platform for us in gymnastics. It does, nobody's attacked one of my athletes individually. I did have somebody after our last weekend get a tweet that said something negative about the entire program. And, you know, that hurt, but it's like, they don't know what they're talking about. You know?
Right. So we just keep it moving,
on.
Right?
Right. We just kind of moved on from that. But none of my athletes have ever been attacked individually as far as I know. And so it hasn't affected the sport of gymnastics as much as it may have, as I know it has affected, you know, our men's basketball program.
All right, Kathy, before I get you out of here, I want to talk about your relationship with numerous coaches that you've coached against within the Big Ten or any of those across the nation, but also the direct connection with the coaches here at Michigan State. Again, you being the longest tenure coach here at Michigan State. I mean, what is your connection like with other coaches here at MSU and beyond?
Well, it's really interesting. We talk about Michigan State being a family and supporting each other, and, you know, that is talked about quite a bit, but it's actually very true. And the only reason I can – Michigan State is the only school I've ever coached at, so I'm not I'm not somebody who came from another university to Michigan State. So this is my only experience. This is all I know. But when you talk to other coaches that come into Michigan State and have come from another university program, or you talk to, you know, other colleagues and say, well, you know, well, Tom Izzo said hello to my recruits on the sideline of the football, you know, game, or we stopped by Tom's office and he spoke with my recruits. People are amazed. What?
Right.
Your basketball coach will talk to your recruits? Absolutely. And they're just amazed that kind of relationship is here on this campus. And so I think that's really special. And it's just really exciting to know that you can turn to your colleagues for any kind of support and help, and they will be there for you. And that's really special. Across the nation for the sport of gymnastics, we have a pretty close-knit group also. It's a pretty small community. And so, you know, most of the coaches get along extremely well, and we're here to do the best we can to promote collegiate gymnastics.
That is fantastic. All right, Kathy, I got to ask this question before we let you go. How much longer?
Oh, that's a really hard decision, or a really hard answer for me to make. I have told many, many people I recognize I'm in the twilight of my career, is how I put it.
Uh-huh.
But it's so exciting to continue to recruit, and, you know, we've got our 2017 class already filled, and it's like, you know, okay, that's 17, and then you got 18, 19, 20. I don't know is what it all boils down to. I have spoken with some of those athletes that I am recruiting and saying, I don't know how long I'll be here, so I'm trying to be honest and upfront. right now, I'm still really enjoying it, and as long as Michigan State will have me, I plan on being here.
And that speaks, and you know, that answer right there speaks volumes that even after all these years around being, you know, close to the sport of gymnastics, I mean, Kathy, you still are enjoying this, right?
Yes, I am. It's really fun and exciting, and our team this year is doing extremely well. We started off with 4 great meets. We had a little bit of up last weekend, but the team is really focused and excited, and you know, I'm just really enjoying the coaching part of this all again. And you know, like I said, it was a tough for a while after Catherine's accident, but I'm back to enjoying and having fun, and really looking forward to my next few years. And then we'll see when the time is right. I hope I know it.
Oh, boy. Gotta love that, I tell you. All right, folks, again, the MSU Women's Gymnastics team, they return home on Friday, this Friday, to compete against in-state rival Michigan. And then just 2 days later, the Spartans will host Pittsburgh in the annual Autism Awareness Meet. Remind folks of the times out there, Kathy.
Yes, 6 p.m. on Friday night and 2 o'clock on Sunday.
There you have that. All right, Kathy, again, the one, the only, Kathy Klagas, MSU Women's Gymnastics head coach. Kathy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Al. Have a great day.
You do the same.
Okay.
All right, folks, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have a special Top 5 Tuesday in store for you, okay? You don't want to miss this. In honor of the week that is Valentine's Day. That's right, fellas. Get on your P's and Q's, man. You don't want to get a slap upside the head, right? But this week, with it being Valentine's week, we're going to list the top 5 sports couples. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back, folks. This world might have gone crazy. The way you saved me, who could blame? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Man, what a fantastic talk with Kathy Klagas, huh? I mean, 25 years here at Michigan State University. She's done some awesome things when it comes to, you know, putting gymnastics in a way on the map here in the community. And also with philanthropic endeavors when it comes to breast cancer awareness meets and, of course, the autism awareness meet that will be taking place this Sunday. But it's always fantastic to sit down with Kathy, and you can still hear the passion, the undeniable passion that she has for what she does. Simple as that, folks. 25 years. That's truly remarkable. All right, folks. Well, it is Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday, folks, we love to have a lot of fun here on Current Sports. You know, we bring to you Top 5 Tuesday, where we list a top 5 sporting topic, whether it be the top 5 point guards of all time, the top 5 Michigan State men's basketball players to ever grace East Lansing. We love to have a lot of fun with Top 5 because everybody has their own Top 5 list, right? No matter what the subject is. So each and every year here on Current Sports around Valentine's Week, and of course, yes, this is Valentine's Week, the week where every man in America goes broke, but that's another rant for another day. we list the top 5 sports couples in the game right now, all right? So I got an interesting list for you. So here we go. Time for Top 5 Tuesday. Yes, that's right, folks. 5-4-3-2-1, our annual, well, weekly, I should say, not annual. It is our annual Top 5 Tuesday topic today, but of course, our weekly Top 5 segment each and every Tuesday. We really say Top 5 sporting topic. And again, it is Valentine's week, and love is certainly in the air. This weekend, many of you will be cuddling up with that special someone and going out for dinner reservations and so on and so forth. So to add a Valentine's twist to this week's Top 5 Tuesday, folks, we're going to list the top 5 sports couples. So let's set the mood right now, shall we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, folks. Let the R&B just kind of play in the background there. Folks, the top five sports couples of all time. These are individuals, not all of them are in the world of sports. A few of these encompass different celebrities, whether it be models or artists, for that matter, that have found that special someone in the world of sports. So why don't we start with number five? My number five is kind of a pick that a lot of people don't even really know about. Go ahead, Barry. I like that. This is some smooth music, man. Aaron Ross and Sonia Richards Ross. Now, if you guys don't know who that is, of course, Sonia Richards Ross, she's a gold medal Olympian in the world of track and field. And Aaron Ross just so happens to be a two-time, yes, not one, but two-time Super Bowl champion. They fell in love, actually got married, and, had a kid. And what you'll see also with my list, at least, is that a lot of these athletes come from different sports. So this is it encompasses track and field and football. So Aaron Ross and Sonia Richards Ross, let the love keep flowing, all right? Number four for me is kind of a special pick because I didn't know that these two had fallen in love until yesterday. Now, of course, SI, Sports Illustrated, has just released this week its annual, swimsuit model issue, I want to say. So last week, actually, on Jimmy Fallon's show, it was released, and we actually talked about in our quick hit headliners, that Hannah Davis, she's a famous model, internationally known model, Hannah Davis was chosen as the cover athlete. Well, excuse me, not cover athlete, cover model for Sports Illustrated. Now, I didn't know this until watching Fallon again yesterday, that she's actually dating Derek Jeter, the great Derek Jeter, ladies and gents. Of course, Kalamazoo native who just recently retired from the New York Yankees. DJ, that's his boo-boo, Hannah Davis. So congrats to DJ and Hannah Davis. Had no idea you guys were together. So that's number four. Number three is a pick that's a pretty popular pick today. You got one of the most famous rap stars in the game, who happens to be a female, by the way, couple with a man who is playing for the depleted Los Angeles Lakers. That being Iggy Azalea and Nick Young. Nick Young, of course, is a guard for the LA Lakers, and Iggy Azalea is a Grammy-nominated hip-hop artist. They've been together a little over a year now. There's actually some quandary because Nick was actually in a situation where Iggy thought that Nick was cheating, and they broke up for a little bit, but they got back together. So, hey, let the love keep flowing, Iggy and Nick. Number two is a pretty popular pick as well. This could have easily, I kind of struggled with possibly, what should I go number one with this one? Or should I keep it at number two? The only reason I kept it at number two is because of something. I'll give you guys that answer in just a sec. But number two for me is Tiger Woods and Lindsey Vonn. Got to shout out Tiger Woods because Tiger Woods is one of my favorite athletes. Tig is certainly struggling out on the golf course, but not off the golf course, folks, because his girlfriend is Lindsey Vonn, who is now the most decorated American skier in the history of the sport. She actually just won her, she actually just broke the record, actually, for most World Cups won in the world of skiing last month. And Tiger is so in love with her that, you know, he actually decided to, when she broke the record, to show up in a mask and sunglasses so nobody would know who he is until he got there and surprised her. And he was there for that moment, though. So Tiger Woods and Lindsey Vonn, you constantly see them everywhere coupled up together. Hey, Tiger and Lindsey, keep the love flowing. All right, number one, numero uno, has to be Tom Brady and Giselle. Of course, Tom Brady, and the reason why I put him number one is because what he's just accomplished. Tom Brady just winning the Super Bowl last month, folks. I mean, my goodness. The beginning of this month, unbelievable run for Tom Brady this entire year. And Giselle, I mean, they've been together for quite some time now. Giselle is, of course, an internationally known model. So Tom Brady and Giselle, hey, keep the love flowing. I'm interested to hear your list. Is there any sports couple that I missed off this list, at least that you think should have cracked the top five? Simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. We had a few last year, I remember. I remember Alex and I got into a huge argument on whether or not to put Beyonce and Jay-Z on the list. 517-355-9527. You can call in as well or go to my Twitter page even and tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. So there you have the top five sports couples of all time, folks. Again, if I missed anybody, hey, just shoot me a tweet or a comment and I'll read it on tomorrow's show. But man, oh man, Valentine's Day. I can't believe it's this weekend already, man. And yeah, many men go broke around this time of the year. All right. Well, folks, Michigan State and the men's basketball team, they try to get back on track tonight at 7 p.m. against Northwestern, one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. They've lost, actually, nine straight, folks. Nine straight is what they've lost. Of course, Michigan State is coming off the loss to Illinois. I tell you what, if you look for, you know, you talk about bounce back games and getting the wheels back on the track, this is a game that can do and should do just that. I hope they've worked on their free throws because that has certainly been a woe of theirs for a while now. But again, that tip time is at 7 p.m. If I had to give you guys a quick preview, I am looking forward to seeing Brandon Dawson, see how he approaches this game because, again, as Tom said yesterday during his weekly presser, Brandon Dawson has been the most consistent player on the MSU men's basketball team. I'm looking for Travis Trice to get out of his scoring funk. Of course, he is still battling that shoulder injury. And it was stated yesterday at the press conference, if you happen to miss it, that Javon Best may be done for the year. How about that, folks? Javon Best, of course, dealing with that right ankle injury. It's one of the biggest reasons why he sat out at the beginning of this season. And now it's still haunting him, folks. So I don't know if a medical redshirt can be induced for him this year. So he won't have to waste a year of eligibility after sitting out so much of this season. But we will certainly see. But MSU and Northwestern, folks, I think MSU wins by double digits by 15 points over Northwestern. We will certainly see, though. Again, tip time is at 7 p.m. I want to remind you all before I get off the air that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night. Again, Keon G., Silver Glove State Champion Keon G. He's only 10 years old, folks. Again, I went out to Crown Box and we shot an interesting feature on him. You do not want to miss how talented this young kid is, folks. I really think he can go a long way if he stays at it in this sport. So, again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. I want to shout out Kathy Klegis, the head coach of the MSU Women's Gymnastics team. Thanks a lot, Kathy, for joining me today. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. We'll be right back at it tomorrow. We'll be inviting Damon Rensing, the head coach of the MSU men's soccer team, to talk about his latest recruiting class and so much more. Have a fantastic evening, folks, and be easy, people.